up 500 by midnight.
Yeah, Vegas!
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
It's the Daily Gopher Football Podcast, and it is finally game week. We finally have a real football game to talk about, and it is just moments away from probably when you're listening to this. I am always of Jeff Rick, joined, as always, by J.D. Mill. This is J.D. Mill, right?
Here I am.
Okay, good. Just, you know, for authenticity's sake, I want to make sure.
Yes, I am not a robot.
No, absolutely not. We are finally, JD, in game week. We are finally here. Game day is upon us. Gophers, Vegas, 10 p.m. starts. We're not sure I'm excited about a 10 p.m. start on a Thursday, but I'm excited for football. I can tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah, the 10 p.m. We talked a little bit about it last week. Well past my bedtime. I'm going to probably be struggling to stay up just past halftime, but I've got a couple of things that I'm planning, a little bit of nap after work, probably a workout, get the blood flowing, a good dinner, and then probably a 5-hour energy about 9 o'clock.
I was going to say, cause you're not a coffee guy, are you?
No, I'm not. Not no, a coffee well. Guy at all. You don't drink coffee that late in the evening, do you?
I might tomorrow night. Listen, I am old. Staying up that, you know, just to even get there by 10 o'clock, I'm going to be fighting to stay awake.
Whatever you got to do, yeah.
I know. And did you work out a good scheme for the nap? I know we talked about that last week.
Yeah, you know, I think the best scenario is probably to try to get the nap in as soon as possible after work.
Yeah.
Because I'm just nervous that the later in the evening I take the nap, I tend to be groggy.
Or that it could turn into a nap to wake up the next morning kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
Nobody wants that.
Yeah. The bigger concern is, and it's not really a bigger concern at all, but is, am I going to be able to nap at all? Because I think I'm just going to be too excited.
But some butterflies?
Some what's going to happen, some what have yous. I mean, there's so many unknowns right now.
How many Gopher fans do you think are in Vegas right now and just drunk? I bet there's a lot. I hope they flood that place with maroon and gold.
Yeah, I can tell you that there's been I know you're not a part of the Twitterverse yet, but I've been watching Twitter today and some of the other bloggers. I know Frothy Gopher from FBT is in Vegas. Trey, not sure how to pronounce that, from Down with Goldie is in Vegas. Several others are out there already and getting their drank on. So, yeah, I'm sure that everybody's getting good and pie-eyed tonight so they can sleep in tomorrow and get up and do it again tomorrow night.
It's exciting times is what it is. We will have a not-so-drunken get-together. Well, there will be beer, we figure. It's still on for the Daily Gopher get-together. It's the BW3s or Buffalo Wild Wings in Roseville. So you unfortunately not going to be able to attend that. I will tell you right now, you will be missed.
I will not. I regretfully will not be able to attend. But I know that you will be there in my absence. And is GN going to make it? Do we know?
As far as we know, he is in.
Good. I'm sure that you guys will do a fine job representing the Daily Gopher writing team and the community at large.
We will do our best. So come on out for that. I know the Gophers are having an official one as well just down the street at Sensors in Roseville as well. So there's some viewing options if you don't get the CBS Sports Station package, Dealey Mabob, that it's on the channel that nobody gets. So
Dealey Mabob.
Yeah.
There you go.
I get the channel for DirecTV. I just have to upgrade the package to be able to get it. So
yeah, I will tell you that I did have to call the cable company, a local cable company, and add and some extra programming.
Look
to,
at you
to get the channel. But
did the missus get any like Home and Garden or Shopping channels out of it? I mean, how'd you talk her into that one?
Well, the funny thing is that not only did I have to add this additional sports view, but I also had to add another group of channels so that she was able to get some additional channels. I will likely be canceling the sports view after this game because outside of the CBS Sports Network, the only thing it really adds is the NFL Network, which I could really give a flying crap about.
That has not gone as planned, I feel like. When that first came out, I thought it was the coolest idea. I never watched that. Right now, it's just all preseason games. And the offseason, it's just, like, top 10 countdown lists.
Yeah, I've never really had any interest in it. I mean, I think, obviously, it's been a good thing for the NFL, and it's very popular. But, yeah, I've never had any interest in it. I think the most time I've ever spent watching the NFL Network is, I believe, both of the Gophers' Insight Bowl appearances were on the NFL Network. I think that's probably the only time I've really watched it.
Inside. You know what the good channel is? The Big Ten Network. It's because the Gophers, being part of a real conference, we get to see all the games on there. It's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing.
I love the Big Ten Network.
Glorious. Gloriousness.
Not around for this game, though, unfortunately. Nope. It's game week. We've been waiting for this for almost 9 months at this point for this to finally come around. How are you feeling about things for the Thursday night kickoff? How are you feeling about their chances? Are you excited? Are you nervous? Are you nervously excited? How are we feeling?
I think my butterflies are more so. I'm excited because football season's back. Obviously, I'm excited to watch the Gophers. I think I'm more nervous about the season as a whole than I am about the game with UNLV tomorrow night. Not because I think UNLV is going to be a pushover, but just because, I'm just so anxious to see what this team can do in the Big Ten Conference. I think, I tend to think that our athleticism and our just overall size is going to really be able to overpower UNLV, even though they've got, at least somewhat of an advantage with the heat. But, once we start getting into some games later in the season, I'm really interested to see how we actually stack up against a Big Ten team, or against the Big Ten teams. We put in our kind of staff predictions today, and I think that GN will be running that sometime tomorrow. But as I went through that, I picked the Gophers to win all four of their non-conference games. So obviously I really want to see them get off to a hot start tomorrow night. And it'd be really nice to see that team put UNLV away early and really have something to build off of for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the time when I can go, when the Gophers can play a team like UNLV and I can have full confidence they're going to blow them out. If the Glenn Mason era gave us nothing, he at least gave us that it was full confidence we were winning our non-conference games.
Yeah, the Glenn Mason-led teams ate cream puffs like nobody's business.
They ate cream puffs like cream puffs is what they did.
Yeah.
It's really the way it went. And doing the predictions where we picked every game on the schedule, I mean, you realize just how little margin for error, there is this season if they want to go bowling. I think commenters on the blog, you read everywhere else, people are saying this could be a 6-win team, but it really does come down to taking care of business in the non-conference schedule because there's just not a lot of margin for things. Once you get into that conference slate, because the Gophers are coming as, a bottom feeder team trying to work their way up. So there's no gimme games in the Big Ten right now. There's no Indiana on the schedule, and they're probably on paper or on the stat sheet not technically better than anybody else going into the season. So, yeah, I mean, the game starting to, Thursday night is a big one because they need to get off on the right foot if they want to not only get the season going, but have a shot at going bowling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, the thing is, my opinion is I think that this team can make it to a bowl game, but in order to do it, I really think at this point that they have to sweep the non-conference schedule. I think we can find 3 wins within the Big Ten schedule, but you never really know what's going to happen. I think my concern with this team is that it really is the schedule. I mean, the Legends division, as we talked about with Ted last week, has not dropped off. Everybody in the Legends division really should be a better team. I mean, you look on the other side in the leaders, and I think you've got possibly a little bit of drop off from top to bottom, but the Legends division is really going to be tough top to bottom, I think.
Possibly. The leaders division is garbage right now outside of Wisconsin, since Ohio State's eligible and Penn State's been decimated by everything happening there.
You're right.
That's top heavy. But yeah, we Minnesota, that was part of the trade off we got. We got to keep all the rivalry games, but I would argue we literally have the toughest conference schedule in the country every season, considering who we have to play, and that not only who's in our division, but because we have Wisconsin in the crossover every year.
Right. And I've seen a couple of different strength of schedule rankings, and I think I've seen the Gopher strength of schedule as high as 14. And recently I saw another one where they were like 22nd. So yeah, I mean, they're playing a top 25 schedule every single year because of the division that they're in. As far as me not bashing the leaders division a minute ago, I do want to apologize. I was trying to be nice.
There's no reason to be nice.
I haven't been drinking tonight.
You're in off-season form still. That's the problem.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So I'm going to give myself a pass on that one.
At that time again, we talked to somebody from the opposition, somebody who knows about the opposition. We finally have an opposition, as we are finally a game week here. Gophers, UNLV, Running Rebels. We found SB Nation's resident UNLV Vegas expert, Jacob from the Mountain West blog, Mountain West Connection on SB Nation, has been kind enough to join us. Jacob, welcome. Thanks for being on.
Yeah, no problem.
So you're not in Vegas. JD Mill and I kind of thought maybe we'd get you from like a casino, you know, hammered, you know, in like an 18-hour run of blackjack or something, but you are not in Vegas, that's correct?
No, I'm not. I've lived in Vegas for a while, but just recently I moved down to Alabama, so yeah, I'm not in Vegas as of right now.
You probably get this question like JD and I get this question when people ask, how did you become a Gopher football fan? Especially living in Alabama, how are you a UNLV football fan?
Well, just grew up for the most part in Vegas and then lived there for a little bit of my adult life before moving out here to Alabama. So I've always been a part of UNLV as a UNLV fan down there. You know, down in Vegas, we don't have any pro teams. We don't have anything other than UNLV. So UNLV is really the only show in town if you want some sports. And even though UNLV football is bad, they are a football team and they are somebody to follow. So that's pretty much why I'm a UNLV football fan.
Yeah, you gotta have something to cheer for. Yeah, we're big college guys, and we've got the Gophers. That's what we're going with. The two teams squaring off here, you definitely see some similarities, I think, in the programs. I know our Gopher, the main athletic director website, their sports information website, talked to one of the beat writers and said you see some similarities. And really, you look at the head coaches. I know, obviously, us with Jerry Kill started as a 1AA coach, has worked his way up now to the Big Ten, and your guy as well, Bobby Hauk, built that 1AA empire at Montana. I know they had a lot of good teams. How people felt about him? I think he's entering, what, his third year. How are the Vegas folks feeling about him and how the program's going?
Well, right now it's kind of bittersweet. You know, we've seen some progress, not necessarily translated onto the field. The whole demeanor of the team has really changed from a spread offense under Mike Sanford to more of a physical style under Bobby Hauk, and so far that's starting to look better, but right now it's not translating into wins. He's had two straight 2-10 seasons, and the losses have all been pretty much blowouts, and you haven't really seen UNLV have those close games and win them, or even in most situations get them, even stay close with decent teams. So this season, now that we're seeing some returning starters, especially on the offensive line where we return five starters, we're expecting to see at least a couple more wins, somewhere around 3 or 4. But if we don't start seeing something, honestly, we're going to start getting restless. I'm speaking for the fan base here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's kind of the, you know, the feeling around the fan base as far as where the program's moving? I know, you know, it's been a number of years since the team's been to a bowl game. What's the feeling? Is the feeling that Hauk's got the team moving in the right direction? I know, speaking from our standpoint with a guy like Jerry Kill. We only won 3 games in his first year, but the fan base all feels pretty good about at least the direction that things are going. What's the feeling from the UNLV fan base about Hauk?
Yeah, I guess it's similar to what you just described with Jerry Kill. I mean, we haven't, like I said, we haven't seen the wins, but we have seen a turnaround in just the culture of the team. You know, Mike Sanford, who was the previous coach before Bobby Hauk, really didn't have a good culture at UNLV. He didn't have a winning culture. He didn't have people believing that they could win. And under Hauk, especially this season, this team believes that they can win more games than they did last season, and possibly they believe they can even make it to a bowl game. Now, I doubt that happens just because of their schedule. I doubt they have the talent to be able to beat enough teams to get to a bowl game. But this team really believes in itself, and that's something to definitely build on.
You guys have been through a lot of coaches. You know, you said you've been a fan there for a while. You've seen most of them. Do you have, you know, a reason or theory on why Vegas has just not been able to sustain success? You know, you talk about them being the only team in town. That's got to help. You can't think it's hard to recruit guys to Las Vegas, and you're very close to a recruiting hotbed in Southern California. Do you have theories on why UNLV has not been able to put it together?
Well, I sort of do. You know, I mean, there really isn't that much of an excuse. Being in Las Vegas and being able to say to recruits, hey, you can come and live in Las Vegas for 4 years while you play football, that's got to be a big selling point. But, you know, there is the problem of attendance. UNLV's football stadium is rarely even half filled. It holds 36,000, but only about 16,000 per game show up, and that's simply because there are other options in Las Vegas. You know, if you live in Las Vegas, you want to go see a show down on the Strip instead of driving to where the stadium is on the eastern edge of town to see a team get whipped. You know, nobody in Vegas really wants to go out there and see that football game. They're just not interested in it. Plus, Las Vegas is more of a pro football town, so they don't really care so much about college. UNLV football is not big at all, and the attendance is terrible. Another problem is, you know, UNLV, their academic program isn't all that great. Most of the schools in Southern California have good academic programs. If you go to a school in Southern California and you're from, if you're from SoCal and you go to a college there, you're generally going to get a decent academic or a decent education there and have a good resume for wherever you try and go and get a job after you get out of college. At UNLV, that simply isn't the case. The only thing that UNLV's academic program really is good at is hotel management. Outside of that, you can't really get anything good academically from UNLV, and that can be a really bad selling point when they're in recruiting wars against other schools, especially in Southern California. Not to mention, UNLV has been terrible for literally forever. I'm pretty sure we've only made it to 5 bowl games in our 42-year history. And when you are trying to recruit a school like that or recruit for a school like that, it's very difficult because you have to try and sell players on the point that they're going to make the school better and they're somehow going to bring the school out of the ashes. You know, our last bowl game was in 2000. It was a long time ago. And that becomes rather difficult. I mean, outside of that, though, like I said, UNLV should have the selling point of you get to play football in Las Vegas and live in Las Vegas with all these lights and all this fame. I guess not really fame, but you get to live in Las Vegas for 4 years. That should be a good enough selling point if you're a good recruiter to get good players to come, especially from people in the Las Vegas area. A lot of recruits in the Las Vegas area tend to leave town for better schools, and honestly, I don't think some of the coaches we've had in the past have done a good enough job of recruiting.
Talk to us a little bit about what this year's team looked like. I know you guys are coming off just a couple win season last year, but as you said, you got your whole offensive line back. I know the running game is strong. Looks like you're going with a younger quarterback for our listeners who are maybe not quite as familiar with the Vegas program and the team coming up. What are you guys looking like for the 2012 season?
Well, the offense looks like it's going to be a little bit improved. Last season, just our entire offense couldn't run the football at all or pass the football at all, really. We were starting a lot of new people on the offensive line. Our quarterback play was straight up atrocious, and our receivers were constantly getting suspended and stuff. Hopefully, our receivers don't get suspended this year because we have a good playmaker on the outside in Marcus Sullivan, who can really make plays in the return game and in screens and such, and can get those extra yards needed for first down. And then we also have a new deep threat. I'm not sure how that's going to work out, but he's a sophomore. He's 6'3". He's got great speed. I can't put my finger on what his name was exactly right now, but he's a great receiver. He's got good potential, but we don't know how that's going to mature out yet. You know, the receiving core is very young. Marcus Sullivan is only a sophomore, the playmaker I was speaking about earlier. And the other receiver is also only a sophomore. The entire receiving core has no juniors or seniors. So the question is there going to be enough experience for the passing game to be at least decent, especially with a redshirt freshman quarterback in Nick Sherry? The good news is they have a good running game to rely on with five offensive linemen returning and the leading rusher for the past two seasons in Tim Cornette also returning. So they've got that to lean on, but they need some sort of a passing game for the offense to work. As for the defense, it's going to be a lot of question marks in the pass defense. You know, we only have one cornerback returning in Sidney Hodge, and he's decent. He's a good cornerback. He can make plays, and he can stick with receivers. But we have two new safeties and a new cornerback, and as a result, none of all three of them really have too much talent. They aren't really too talented to come in and, without experience, play it to the level of Big Ten football. And I think you're going to see that possibly against Minnesota. Minnesota might do well in the passing game simply because UNLV's secondary is so new to this game. And then as for the defensive line and the linebackers, we actually do have a decent amount of returning starters with four. We also get we get four returning starters along the front seven. And then we also have Princeton Jackson coming in from Blinn College, and that's the same college that Cam Newton came from. And he's supposed to start in place of the linebacker that we lost last year. So we'll basically have an upgrade, actually, at that position to go along with the two returning starters at linebacker. And the defensive line should be better simply because of the returning starters, and we've got a couple of new defensive ends who are expected to play very well. It should be better, but it's not going to be great. As long as the defensive line can get some sort of pressure, unlike they were able to last year, then hopefully that'll speed the passing game along and make it easier for the secondary that's pretty much brand new to cover all these receivers.
So with all that said, I mean, it sounds like there's, you know, some decent things to look forward to in the season. Obviously, we're all in the same boat here. Nobody's played a game. We've all got high expectations for what can happen coming into the season. You know, I had a chance to email a bit with Jeremy over at Mountain West Connection today to talk a little bit about what he thinks we can expect from the game. But give me an idea from your standpoint. What do you think from a UNLV fan standpoint can be expected going into this game as far as how the team's going to perform against a Big Ten school like Minnesota?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, simply because, like I said, we don't have any experience in the passing game, not really any in the pass defense, and especially in college football today, that's big. You want to have a good passing defense, and you want to have a good passing game. Excuse me. And unfortunately, we don't really have that. It's all new. So the question is, will they be able to get up to the standards of the Minnesota Gophers' passing game and passing defense? I'm not exactly sure that's going to happen. I know there's the potential for it. The question is, how well did they progress in the fall and spring camps? If they progressed very far and brought some of that potential out, I think it's possible that they perform well. You know, the offense performs well. We get a couple stops on defense, keep the game close. But if they haven't really progressed, then there's going to be issues, and I think Minnesota could blow this out of hand pretty easily.
Okay, so that's interesting because Jeremy had said that he thought it could be a closer game than people think. I think he had actually said that he felt like it could be within 10. So being a guy who's from Vegas, last time I looked, the Gophers were favored by 8.5. If you were a betting man, what side of that line would you put your money on?
Well, for one, I'm not a betting man just because I'm not very good at predicting games. But if I were a betting man, I'd have to go under that. That is under, right? I don't bet very much. If I say that they're going to score, or if the margin of victory is going to be, say, 10,
yep,
then that's under, isn't it?
Yep, then you would be taking the Gophers.
Yes, take the Gophers. That's what I'll do. Simply because, like I said, I'm not sure about it. And in the past, there's just always been high expectations only to be dropped. And UNLV tends to let down those expectations. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen again.
All right. My last question for you is this. We're talking about Vegas. You've spent a lot of time there, so I'll ask you. Best movie about Las Vegas. Is it Casino, The Hangover, Ocean's 11, or Swingers?
I'm going to say The Hangover. I loved The Hangover. Best movie. Well, not really best movie I've ever seen, but it was a really good movie.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Anything off that list that you would recommend?
Anything off the list of movies?
Yeah, anything that Jeff didn't mention, any Vegas-related movies that you would recommend?
I guess I could say 21, the one about Blackjack. I can't remember who was the what was the name of the main actor, but it's a story about the guy who counts cards and basically makes his way through Vegas, taking a ton of money in the meantime, basically getting rich off of counting cards. He was originally a MIT grad. It's a great movie. If you want to see a movie about Vegas, that's definitely one to see.
That is a good movie based on the book Bringing Down the House by one of my favorite authors, Ben Mezrich. So a little plug for him. If you want to read any other great books about that are tend to be on kind of off topics, but really interesting people, great author. So good stuff.
Jacob, we appreciate the time. I know everybody looking forward to the first game of the season, and we'll see how it goes out in the desert. It's 10 p.m. kickoff Central Time. I think it's 8 o'clock out there. We'll be watching. We'll be reading you as well under the Mountain West Connection, and thanks again for your time.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Final segments on the podcast. JD, do you have an opinion of what you think the best movie in or about Vegas was? Did I miss one? I thought those were four good ones.
Yeah, no, I thought they were four good ones. I actually, you know, his recommendation of 21, in and of itself, the movie 21 was pretty good. If you actually read the book, Bringing Down the House, and you tried to compare the two, I mean, the movie was actually completely different from the book. So on its own, the movie was pretty decent. In comparison to the book, it was an absolute train wreck. Having said that, I still have a soft spot in my heart for Swingers.
Hey, I was going to say the same thing. It probably dates me, but that I think of the four, that's still my favorite. And I'm like, don't get me wrong, Hangover was hilarious. That's a classic movie, but there's just still something about Swingers.
Yeah, and I, you know, that was back when you and I were really in our heavy drinking days, or at least the first part of our heavy drinking days.
Right.
That was a movie that was right on the tip of our tongues all the time. So, yeah, I definitely have a special place in my heart for Swingers.
As do I. You know who else I have a special place in my heart for, Jeremo? Gopher football. And conveniently, they're playing here.
It is convenient.
I know, right?
Nice segue.
Thank you. See, we're getting up to speed here. That's what we're doing. What do we – I know I asked you before if we talked to Jacob after hearing his assessment of the team. You know, thoughts on things, thoughts how we're looking here. I feel like if it's – I'm almost more afraid of the passing teams right now because I still have questions about the secondary than I am a running game. And I also feel like this is the second worst team Minnesota's going to play all year. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say I'm confident they can win, but even saying that, I get a little nervous.
Yeah, you know, this is where we get into that we've been here before situation, and you know, it's easy to get optimistic. It's easy to be optimistic at this time of year. I think as Gopher fans, we all have a general sense of cautious optimism. But you know, the thing is if this team is, if this program is going to be built to where we think it can be, and you alluded to it earlier, this has to be the kind of game that we know that we can just go into and walk through it. And, you know, not that anybody's taking UNLV lightly or anybody on the non-conference schedule for that matter, but this has to be the kind of game that in the future we can know that we can chalk that up as a W. And if we were to lose a game like this, it would absolutely be an outlier. We don't know that yet. We don't know enough about what this team's going to be. We don't. Obviously, we haven't seen them play yet. We only know what we've heard from practices, from people that have been at practices. We know that the team is still very young. We know that there's a lot of talent. But we know that this is still only year two under Jerry Kill. The continuity that the coaching staff brings from last year to this year obviously is of huge importance. But is it enough to this quickly get us to the point where a game like this is a gimme? I don't think we're there yet. And obviously, like I mentioned earlier, if we can go into UNLV and really take them behind the woodshed early and win a game convincingly, you know, 2.5, 3 touchdowns, then I think that'll give us something great to build on as we look ahead to the rest of the non-conference schedule. But right now, yeah, there's just a lot of nervousness about what the building process, where we are in the building process from year one to year two, and we won't know that until we see the team take the field tomorrow night.
That's the tough part. If we were even a game in, or 2 games, or 3 games, you'd say, okay, well, they're doing this well and not doing that well, and I'm a little more concerned about that than this. But right now, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just, you know, we're going off the off season and fall camp and spring ball, and everything's roses. But when they get out there, you know, how are they actually going to look against a real opponent? I got to say, the offense, I think, again, writing the we talked to. Talk about doing the game-by-game predictions, and I think you really lets you look at some other teams and the offenses and defenses they have, and I think it makes me a little worried about ours, because you realize, like, holy crap, like a wide receiver, we have Brandon Green, who's a sixth-year senior who hasn't played much, and despite having, I think, some talented underclassmen guys, the guys you hear about are the two true freshmen.
Right.
And it's exciting we're getting kids like that, and we're having guys like McDonald and Harbison who can step in right away and play. But that's also a little concerning if those are the guys that are kind of making the biggest headlines, the wideouts. Passing game makes me nervous, as does the running game right now, besides Marquise, because I feel like, you know, I was really hoping James Gillum was going to step up and be the guy and just take the ball and go with it. But it sounds like backfield by committee. And for me, usually backfield by committee doesn't mean everybody's playing well. It means nobody's playing well enough to be the guy.
Right. And, I mean, that's certainly something concerning. I mean, we really haven't had a premier back who's really, you know, taken the reins since Amir Penix, I guess, was the last 1,000-yard rusher. But really, I mean, that was even a situation where, if I really think back, Maroney is really the last time that you think about a feature back in the Gopher backfield. I still tend to believe that Kirkwood and Gillum probably together are both going to sort of step up. I can see both of those guys being, 750, 800 yards on the season, which I think, based on what we've seen the last few years, would be fantastic production from the running back position. But I think the one thing that I feel confident about going into this season is that I do feel like this is a team that's building an identity. One of the things when I look back at the Tim Brewster era that really always irked me was, I don't think we ever knew what any of those teams were about. They never had an identity. They weren't.
It's because the identity changed every year, because the coordinators were changing every year.
Well, and even within any given year from week to week, I mean, I don't even know if we talked. I know we talked about it either on podcasts or blogs in those years, but from week to week, who is this team? What is the identity? What can we do that we know we're going to be better at against this team coming up. And I think at least we know going into year two of the Jerry Kill era that this is a team with a coaching staff that is at least building towards an identity of being able to move the ball, being physical, being fast, being able to disrupt other teams in the backfield from a defensive standpoint, being able to get turnovers. I mean, we know because the coaches have said from day one what they're building towards, what they expect, discipline and things like that. So we at least know that this team is building towards an identity, and that's something that this program has not had since Glenn Mason left.
Yeah, and it's for me, it's just like, thank God for Marquise Gray. Just an enormous and really an unfair amount of pressure on him this year as a senior. Mm-hmm. But with such an inexperienced group of receivers, definitely a more experienced, a lot of talent, but an offensive line that's still very, very young around him, and a running back group that doesn't look like it's stepped up yet. It's going to be a lot of number five as it was last year, and it's hard to believe. You think that, God, it's a team that lost to North Dakota State. It's a team that lost to New Mexico State, but it's also a team that beat Illinois. It's a team that beat Iowa, and it had a lot to do with how Q was doing. It's a team that, had the ball on the last drive with a chance to tie against Michigan State, who, went on to the conference championship game. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's things there, and I think his development, I'm very interested to see where he's at. We know he can run the ball, but where he's at as a leader and a passer, it's just the part where it's not frustrating, but it's like, well, he looks great in practice. I think he looks a lot more confident from what I got to see during that the open week of practice and spring ball. He's throwing the ball better, he's moving with more confidence, he's making decisions better, but until we get him out there and see it, it's hard to know.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And one thing I was thinking about this week is, as good as Marquise, I think, can be, and as much pressure as there is on him and as much as everyone's looking to him to be the leader on the team, I was thinking about how different would we feel about this season if Max Shortell was the starting quarterback and maybe Q had graduated or whatever. And I, obviously there would be some concern because there's still not there's still not the targets. You're still talking about a young football team. But from a talent level standpoint, or at least the ability to be a mobile quarterback and to get the ball downfield and make the throws, I don't think there's a huge drop-off from Max and really – or to Max. And really, if we think about it from a team standpoint, specifically on the offensive side of the ball – if that was the case, if Max was starting this year, that's exactly what we're looking at next year. I mean, we really, from an offensive standpoint, don't lose anybody. Here I am already talking about next year, I know, but we really don't lose anybody from an offensive standpoint to next year. And so, just talking about the identity that the team is building and looking towards the future and things like that, I think there's a lot of things to be optimistic about and obviously, more than anything, I'm just excited to have college football back and see what these guys can do.
Yeah, this is the thing. I know Jen and I talked about it a bit before, and this is a team that for 2013, holy Christmas, there's a lot coming back next year. Mm-hmm. This is year two. It's another building year. We all really want, I never thought I'd be so excited for a team that could possibly go back to the Insight Bowl. But to have them go to a bowl game would be huge, and yet it's trying to temper the expectations. But yeah, it's a team that really is building for that for year number three, when you get your entire offensive line back, you get almost all your receiving core back, the running backs, a lot of guys in the defense. I know it'll hurt to lose the two senior cornerbacks that are out there now, but I mean, it's a team that's going to look very, and linebackers too. Don't let me forget Rawls and Cooper. But still, you get a lot of guys back for that 2013 season, and you can see what Kill and company are building for to try and get their kind of guys doing it their way and be three seasons in with what next year is going to be a very, very experienced team.
Yeah, absolutely. And, it's, we certainly don't want to be that, well, just wait till next year or whatever. Right. I think we probably started that pretty early in the season last year even. And then Kill and the coaching staff were able to continue to coach the team and give us some things to be excited about, the second half of the year. But yeah, certainly 2013, 2014, a lot of good things to look forward to in the future. And like I mentioned before, I mean, that's something that I think you cannot underestimate when you talk about Coach Kill and the continuity in the coaching staff, is the fact that this is a team that has a plan in place. There is an identity being built for this team, and they are going to be able to begin to make an impact in years 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, it's a consistent message. It's been there from day one. It's, you know, there when things were rough early last year. It was there as things got better and the team started to turn it around. It's there in the offseason. It'll be there in the locker room and on the sidelines against Vegas here to start and all season long. It's just – it's one of those things where it's like, all right, I want to see it. Like, let's get out and see what we've got here. Because, you know, looking up and down that schedule – not, as we said, not a lot of room for error, but at the same time, I would say there's only three games they're absolutely positively not winning, which is Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Michigan. And I know Michigan State's a very good team, but you know, the Gophers had them on the or were on the final drive with a chance, and were right there with what was a very good team and a pretty similar group to what they've got last year. And everybody else, yeah, everybody's going to be tough, but if the Gophers play up to expectations, there's definitely potential there. So I guess I can see both sides of the coin is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. It's you know, I probably don't think that Michigan State game is winnable right now either. I think Michigan State's kind of going to be the class of the conference this year. Tends to be my belief, but having said that, yeah, I mean, you know, it's a tough enough conference. There's enough things to look forward to this season to, you know, hopefully we've got the ability to be able to get to that 6-win mark. Being able to have that extra week of practice before a bowl game would be huge. It'd be a huge jump, obviously, from what we've seen the last couple of years to be able to get to that 6-win mark, get back to where the program was, I think we can safely say, before Tim Brewster came on board, and really give us building blocks for what this staff can do in years 3, 4, and 5.
So Thursday night, 10 o'clock, kickoff against Vegas. How do you see this one playing out? I think I said on the blog that a close one. I'd love to see him blow him out. I just want to see him win. But I think being first game of the year with a lot of new faces out there, it might take him some time to find that momentum. I'm seeing a Gopher victory, but perhaps closer than we'd want it to be.
You know, I tend to think that the team's going to come out hyped. There's going to be a lot of adrenaline. I think that's sort of what helped keep us in the USC game last year. I'm concerned that it may be what causes a couple of mistakes this year. And I'm not exactly sure why I think that. But, you know, I think the first half is probably going to be closer than we like it to be. But I think that the Gophers are just from having bigger, stronger, faster athletes are going to be able to, for lack of a better term, outrun UNLV, and I think they'll pull away in the second half. So I actually have a little bit different opinion than you do. I see us winning by a couple touchdowns.
I like what you did there, by the way, with the outrun, the Runnin' Rebels.
I
see what you did there.
Don't call them the Runnin' Rebels.
It's just Tarkanian's team. It was just the Runnin' Rebs basketball team that picked that up.
Yeah, you know, I actually meant to add, I wanted to get a little bit more clarification on that from Jeremy over at the Mountain West Connection, and I didn't. Yeah, he said it refers to the basketball team. As far as I can tell, it referred to just Tarkanian's teams. I don't think their current basketball team goes by the Runnin' Rebs.
I certainly don't think they run much. I haven't heard about them doing much of that anyway.
No. Do they still have a basketball team?
As far as I know, I think they do.
Okay, good.
But it's not a, let's just say it's not a Tarkanian team.
They're probably asking the same question.
Greg Anthony's not walking through that door.
Larry Johnson.
Not walking through that door. Plastic Man. Sorry, I could go on, but I'll stop. You know who else? Vegas? Isaiah Easy JR Jr. Ryder. Don't forget that.
What, that guy? Never mind.
One of your favorites.
Never mind.
I'm sorry. Sore spot. I shouldn't be bringing that up. And so it's a joyous time like this when we're just hours away from Gopher football kickoff for the 2012 season.
Actually, we're still more than 24 hours away.
Recording this, but people, when they listen to this, do
it. You're right.
We're under 24 at this point. It's ours. Well, okay, right now it's not under 24, but it will be by the time they listen to this.
Yeah, but seriously.
I'm building into the future here is what I'm doing.
It's wonderful.
Thank you.
But honestly, it's not even 10 o'clock right now when we're recording this.
I'm tired.
The clock still starts, the time on the clock still starts with a 9. And all I can think about is when we wrap this up, I am so going to go to bed.
And yet, this will be about the time I'm getting in the car to go to Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, we will still be an hour. Here's the good thing we can say about tomorrow night, and we'll still be, it won't even be kickoff time yet. No. At least there will be other college football to watch prior to.
Thank God, that's true. Oh. So really our word for Thursday night is not only, you know, not only be a big Gopher fan, just stay awake. Just whatever you got to do, just stay awake.
Yep. Nap it up.
Yep.
5-hour energy it up, Red Bull, whatever you do.
If you don't normally have coffee with dinner, maybe tomorrow night's the time. I don't know. Maybe mix a little in with your drink or something if that helps you. We're not telling you what to do or not to do. We're just saying stay awake.
It's not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea at all. All right, so Gophers, we are predicting a win, and you're predicting a bowl game this season?
I am. Have you noticed, too, by the way, that
please.
I feel like we're just so ready for the season to start that we're just running out of things to talk about.
I think we're about at that point.
So anyways, yes, I'm predicting a Gopher win.
And you know what? I realize you're trying to store up the energy reserves for tomorrow night, and I'm draining them here, so I apologize for that. You know, we want you at your best tomorrow. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. I mean, we have tens of fans that expect to hear this podcast every week.
Can we? I suppose we can say tens, right? Because tens would mean more than it would be like two tens. So like multiple.
Well, right.
We're there.
Actually, I think you'd probably say dozens.
See, now that feels like we're overstating, but maybe.
Right. Not. Yeah. I think it's beyond single digits.
I agree with that.
I could safely say that at this point.
I would agree with that. All right, so that will then pretty much wrap it up for us. Football season, folks, rejoice greatly, and for the love of God, stay awake tomorrow night. We know we're going to try to.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is the most. It's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year round. Well, actually, just for the fall, but you get what I'm saying here.
It actually gives for a shorter amount of time than any other sport.
It really does, but that's what makes it so great, though, is because the games matter so much, because we only get 12. We'd love to get a 13th at a bowl game.
It's happening right now. I just cannot wait.
I know. My wife is so annoyed with me talking about Gopher football, but it's her fault. So.
Oh, you talk to your wife about Gopher football, huh?
I just say I'm excited, and I'm ready for it to start, and I'm excited to go watch it at the Buffalo Wild Wings, so, and she's ready for me to go, so.
Wow.
It's about what it is.
Good for you.
All right, so Jeremy will be watching in the comfort of his couch. I don't know if you're invited to his place, but if you drive by and see it on, he might let you in. Otherwise, if you're in the Twin Cities and are looking for a place to watch the game and you don't get CBS Sportsline, whatever channel that is, 613 on DirecTV or whatever.
Yeah, you probably don't get it.
Yeah, but chances are probably not. Jeremy went to Call Special, but you also have to throw in Home and Garden Network channels. It's not ideal, let's say that. Buffalo Wild Wings is where we will be in Roseville. Check the website for maps, or I think there's probably a Google thing. If you're finding us, you can probably find Google and just look BW3s in Roseville. But we will be there sometime before 10, and we'll be there to watch hopefully what will be a great start to the Gopher football season out in Las Vegas.
I can't wait for the season. Are you guys, like, are you wearing any special outfits? Are you going to have a sign? Like, how are people going to know how to find you?
You don't think we – listen, I leave it – GN runs the site. I leave him to plan these things.
I love it.
I just show up.
That's a great – that's perfect.
We obviously don't plan for the podcast. I don't see why I'd plan for something like that. That's GN's job.
That's a great point. I'm completely embarrassed that I even asked.
Here's my biggest decision. Do I go Marquise Gray jersey or do I just go with something else?
Well, whatever you go with, I hope it's Gopher related.
Well, it's going to be, I think, in Q, but we'll see what happens here. So,
yeah, I'd go with the Q jersey for sure.
All right, 10 o'clock kickoff, Thursday night. It's a late one. Enjoy it. For the love of God, stay awake. And let's hope we can see it go for victory. That'll wrap it up for us. For JD Mill, I am Jeffrick. Stay classy, stay awake, and go Gophers.
Sky you, Ma. Stick around.